darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
And Urban Family Talk.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media.
And the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors. Even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
Good evening. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am your host, Abraham Hamilton III, accompanied by my gentleman, Mr. J. Tross on my right, Jeff Reed on my left, Hannah in the screening room, and we are ready to bring today's program to you. I want to encourage you to stick around because in the second segment of the program, you don't want to miss it, we will have none other than Fox News' own Judge Jeanine Pirro. That's going to be quite a conversation, don't you think? Yeah. Judge Jeanine, Abe the Third. It's going to be pretty interesting. You don't want to miss that. She has a new book coming out. I'll give you the title now. I'm going to say it again, but the title is Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. How you like that for a meek and lowly title? And in addition to that, we have, in case you're unaware, some pretty sad news, quite frankly. And this is a moving scenario, but in Annapolis, Maryland, we have gotten word that a gunman approached the Capital Gazette newsroom. This is a newspaper, news publication in Annapolis, Maryland. And so far, there are at least five people who have been confirmed dead already. This is another multiple shooting scenario that took place just today. And it's so striking because it folds right into what the Lord literally led me to share from his word today. And this was even before I even knew personally about the shooting in Maryland. But to date, there are at least five people who have been confirmed dead at the Capital Gazette newsroom in Annapolis, Maryland. And with that, and to that, let us now turn to the Word of God. We're going to begin in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. That it is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. I'll read them and then we'll dig into them a little bit. Here we go. This is the Apostle Paul talking. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now this is, man, this is amazing scripture because the Apostle Paul literally saying that as a result of having received this ministry that God has called us to, and this is the ministry of him evangelizing and serving as an apostle in God's church, he received this ministry by the mercy of God. But because he recognized that the call and the ministry was given by the mercy of God, as a result of that, Apostle Paul is saying that because of that, we don't faint. We don't lose heart. Even though there may be temporary setbacks, there may be things that arise, we do not faint because we know we are living in God's lane on God's time. Man, that is an encouragement for us. Going even further, saying that we have renounced the disgraceful and underhanded and deceitful ways. Now, why does Paul say that? Because at this time, there are those who would commend themselves as teachers in the area where the church at Corinth was, where they were deceitful and underhanded, and people who professed to be erudite orators who really were charlatans with big words. Paul said, we don't deal in that in the least bit, but we operate by manifestation of the truth. And because of the truth we convey, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But this is where I want to hit. And I'll tell you how the Lord kind of walked me through this to get to this point. Paul says, but if the gospel that we preach, gospel is a word that simply means the good news. And what is that good news? Folks, that good news is that the Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men could become sons of God. Having this great chasm between the wretchedness of mankind and the unapproachable holiness of the King of Glory, there was a bridge that was built. And it wasn't built by man's hands. That bridge was built by the sinless, perfect life of the eternal Lamb who created the means by which God would reconcile us to himself. That is good news. That is good news. Sparing us from the wrath of God that cannot eternally dwell in the presence of sin, but having provided for us the only prescription for our sin sickness that could ever be, which is the sinlessness of Jesus Christ, having that dual imputation, our sin imputed to Jesus, his righteousness imputed to us. So that as we stand, those of us who are believers, we don't stand on our own accord, but we stand in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is good news. That is good news. Paul writes, if this good news be hidden, it is only hidden to those who are in unbelief, the unbelievers, because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. It's not the unbelief is a product of blindness. It is not a product of the natural machinations of mankind. So I know we see the, you know, the macroevolutionary theory expositors. I know we see those who profess to be atheists using the wonderful lexicons of humanity and secular humanism. But let us never forget that if this gospel be hid, it's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. Now, I went home yesterday after having done the program, and, you know, I read a lot of different things, and to witness, folks, this is the incongruence. Is that a word? You have to check me on that. Yeah. This is the incongruence of regressive thinking. To witness how those who are regressives, that they are literally apoplectic at the prospect of babies not being able to be killed several hundred thousand per year. Now, just stick with me for a moment. Many of these same people who are lamenting, who are crying, who are cursing on Twitter, who are going bananas, who are having arguments with their family members and storming out of restaurants and having all of these things happening, many of these same people will fight to the verbal death for universal health care. Think about that. Think, folks, about that for one moment. On one hand, it's the same group of people. On one hand, the potential, and by the way, if Roe v. Wade is reversed, that doesn't mean that abortion automatically is illegal at that point. All that means is that it will go back to the states. I unfortunately have to tell you that if and when Roe v. Wade is reversed, that will not end abortion in America immediately. Why do I say that? There will be at least a couple states I can think up off the top of my head that their legislators will fight to keep abortion alive in their states. Now, there will be probably 30, maybe 35 states that will immediately abolish abortion. But it's not going to destroy abortion for the whole country. But having said that, to see these people become emotionally unhinged because they may not be able to kill 700,000 babies a year anymore. And to find these are the same people who say, but we want to fight for the right for health. And then they will even add, we want to make sure poor people can go to the doctor. I'm saying, y'all don't see how the issue you're talking about, the health of human beings, wanting to get to go to a doctor, wanting to get to breathe. You don't see that? And the answer to that, folks, is no, they don't see it. Why don't they see it? Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And one moment to pound the chest and to declare themselves as a champion of the least of these, the champion of the downtrodden, the disinterested, the disenfranchised. And at the same time, to champion the right to kill the downtrodden, the least of these, the disenfranchised, those who don't even have their own vocal cords. But not don't have them, but cannot articulate their own words yet. They want a right to kill them. Several things are at play. One, it really lets you know that the issue is not human compassion. Because there's no way you can be the champion of human compassion and don't see how dismembering a child in the womb is not good. But more importantly, it reminds me that the God of this world has blinded their eyes. And it should. And you know what? I know how most of us felt when we got the news about Anthony Kennedy's retirement. I have to tell you, I was encouraged by it. I'll be frank with you. But immediately, the Lord reminded me of this. And I shared a bit of this on the air yesterday. What is happening in our country shouldn't lead us to, you know, choruses and chants and cheers and high-fiving. It should drive us to our knees and a redoubling of our commitment to be advocates and executors of the Great Commission. Because the God of this world has blinded their eyes. There's no way you can see people all the world over, not the world, the country over, lamenting, oh no, we won't be able to kill children anymore. And to recognize that as just, that's just one political opinion, just like you have your political opinion. No, folks, the God of this world has blinded their eyes, has blinded their eyes. And guess how blind eyes get opened? I'll tell you like the woman at the well said it. I met a man who told me everything about myself. Come see whom I have met. Folks, this is not an hour to sit on the sideline, limiting our discourse, our conversations to political wins and losses. This is a moment where we say, Lord, are you granting us more grace? And if you are, let us remember the words of Acts 17. For he has determined aforetime the boundaries of our habitation and the time that we would live in. Why? Verse 27 tells us, so that men should seek God. I was preparing a commentary for July 4th that's coming up. And that is exactly what I wrote about. Yes, we celebrate the liberty we enjoy in this country. Yes, that we have a government of the people, by the people, for the people. Yes, we have a nation where we are our government is formed by the consent of the governed. And we have a pledge of allegiance that says one nation with liberty and justice and for all. No, there's a middle part there. One nation under God. Folks, the liberty we enjoy as Americans, we enjoy it so that we can advance the gospel. The purposes are not so that we can celebrate how we have free and fair elections. The purposes are not to talk about how we have due process of laws. The purposes are not so that we can say we have a Bill of Rights. The purposes are that the Lord created a perch in this world, in this created universe, where people of God can be sent all throughout the world. Can be sent internationally in missions, can be sent nationally in missions, where college campuses are invaded by light bearers of the King of Glory, where high schools are invaded by light bearers of the King of Glory, where families are regathered, where husbands turn their hearts back to their children and the hearts of the children are turned back to their fathers, where we have men washing their wives in the water of the word, where we have wives submitting to their husbands as unto the Lord. The purposes of our liberty is not so we can chest bump and say we are free. The purpose is to use the freedom to advance the King's agenda. Not a moment to sit on the couches. No, sir. No, ma'am. We have to recognize what God is doing. Chronicles, for the sons of Issachar understood the time that they were in, recognized the times they were in, and knew what to do. Let us not be found with this freedom that we have just buying Gucci bags and Birkenstock sandals. Let us use this freedom to advance the gospel. Because if this gospel be hid, it's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes.
End the Washington witch trials. Hi, I'm Matt Staver with Freedom's Call. The U.S. House declared that there is no evidence that the Trump campaign colluded, coordinated, or conspired with the Russian government. Yet Mueller's investigation still continues. A full year of his work with estimated cost approaching $10 million, Mueller has found nothing. He has settled on attempting to prosecute a temporary campaign manager of Trump's campaign for allegedly lying under oath. However, Mueller was mocked by the judge who summarized his position as saying, "This was what the investigation was about, but we were lying. This is a ridiculous example of prosecution abuse." The judge claimed the prosecution only cared about what the defendant might give them about President Donald Trump. The special prosecution has very limited authority and cannot prosecute beyond its authority. Join us in prayer that this investigation will cease and we will have a unified America once again. Visit lc.org.
Hi, this is Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope. We've seen God open up so many doors for us to help serve and love those who get affected by a natural disaster.
As the trees and the wind started crashing down around us, my wife was, of course, very diligently praying, you know, "Lord, please be with us."
Very simply, we do it because God commands us to love others.
I see these volunteers all as a gift from God.
And I'm just grateful they're here, you know, helping out. It's a blessing.
If you're interested in becoming a part of what God's doing through 8 Days of Hope, please go to 8daysofhope.com, click on Get Involved, submit your email address.
I've noticed that whenever there's a time in my life when things might be a little gloomy, the number one thing that I can do is to go serve somebody.
And I would encourage anyone else to, it's worth it. Come out and do it next time if you didn't make it to this one. And the Father will really bless you in it.
Thank you so much for your prayers and volunteering with 8 Days of Hope.
This is Steve Conover inviting you to listen to the Friends of Israel Today each week on this station. Here's our host and Bible teacher, Chris Katulka.
Hey everybody, the Friends of Israel Today is a unique radio show that teaches biblical truth for changing times. We do this through Q&A, timely interviews, dramatic readings from the life of Holocaust survivor Zvi Kalischer, and of course, Bible teaching.
To learn more, visit foiradio.org.
Join us for Friends of Israel Today, Sunday morning at 11:30 Central on American Family Radio.
So they asked me to enter my email address, and the next thing I know, I start getting emails from companies I never even knew existed. What's up with that?
Here at the American Family Association, you have our word that we won't give away, sell, or lease your email address to any other organization or company. We're thankful when you take the time to subscribe to AFA Action Alerts, 1 Million Moms, Engage Magazine, or any of our other online newsletters.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here on American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. I am excited to have on the program the host of Fox News's Justice with Judge Jeanine. She previously won an Emmy for a syndicated court show called Judge Pirro, and then she also was the first female to sit on the Westchester County Court bench and the first female elected district attorney of Westchester County. You see her on television. You hear her commentary. She's an amazing, wait, I think she's not on yet. Well, the guest is Judge Jeanine Pirro. Once we get her back on the line, we will jump into our interview with her, but she's here. She's here to discuss many of the things that are happening around the country and also to discuss her new book that will be released later on in July. And we already talked to her. She's agreed to come on the program today and also to come on again later on. The book is titled Liars, Leakers, and Liberals: The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. But as we are getting that squared away, I wanted to do a little bit of conversing with you all for a moment. And this is something that I think many people may have to pay a bit more attention to, because we talked about the election of Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez in New York defeating a 19-year incumbent in Joe Crowley, who defines and describes herself as a democratic socialist, just like the former presidential candidate, Bernie Sanders. And I just wanted to take a moment to address a bit of what democratic socialism is, but I think we have our guest on the line. Do we have you on the line, Judge Jeanine?
Yes, indeed you do. Well, how are you today?
I am fantastic. I have to tell you, it's my pleasure to interview you, and I want to let you know that you are in the company of a former prosecutor as well. I started my legal career as a criminal prosecutor in Houston, Texas, so I understand where you come from.
Okay, well, you've been doing God's work then your whole life.
Well, that is what I endeavor to do, and may it continue to be that way by His grace.
Yes, indeed.
All right. First, I want to ask you, and I know, and I've already shared with my listeners the title of your upcoming book, but I have to ask you, I have to get your reaction to the announcement of Anthony Kennedy's retirement from the Supreme Court. When you first heard that news, what was your reaction?
Well, first of all, it was shock because we didn't really expect that Kennedy was going to retire this quickly. You know, he did it the right way. He did it on the last day of the term. So hopefully there will be a new Supreme Court justice before that first Tuesday in October. But, you know, Kennedy is an extremely important justice because it's not just replacing an Antonin Scalia or a Ruth Bader Ginsburg, Scalia being a conservative and Ginsburg being a liberal. Kennedy is the swing vote.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get a conservative in the place of the swing vote, then we've got a Supreme Court that is a conservative Supreme Court. And the good news is, if there is another retirement, whether it be Ruth Bader Ginsburg or someone else, while Donald Trump is president, we have the ability to take that Supreme Court in a different direction for a generation. And that's important stuff. It is crucial to this country right now.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Now, and this kind of ties into a little bit of your book. I expect a twofold effort. We've already seen some of it. One, I expect Democrats to attempt to stymie President Trump's nomination and subsequent confirmation by arguing that this is an election year. Of course, there's a distinction between a presidential election year and a midterm congressional election year. But I also expect the drumbeat to begin to build to say that President Trump should not be allowed to nominate the successor to Anthony Kennedy because of this Russia collusion investigation. And to that, I will simply say I learned of the title of an upcoming book, and it's titled Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, The Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. So what do you think about that potential argument to stymie President Trump's nomination powers to try to tie him to the collusion, the Russia collusion investigation?
Well, the first thing I would say is you're very smart. And the second thing that I would say is that, you know, the Democrats, to suggest that the president cannot nominate someone that the Senate only has to advise and consent is typical of their obstruction and resistance in terms of their approach to government and this president. Here's the bottom line. We have a Supreme Court because the Constitution calls for a Supreme Court. We have a vacancy, and it needs to be filled. And you are so correct when you say this is not a presidential election year where I think it was the Biden rule or whichever, where they said, no, we got to wait for the people to elect a president before we put in a new Supreme Court justice. That's a bunch of hogwash that the Democrats are going to come up with to prevent the president and from appointing someone like a Justice Gorsuch, who is such a tremendous addition to the Supreme Court. This is going to be a very important appointment. The president is going to go through with it. There is no reason that, and it will be brutal. Make no mistake, it's going to be brutal. But there's no reason with the list of that's been provided to the president from the, I believe, the Federalist Society, I forget the other club it is, but there are circuit court justices, judges, and federal court judges with excellent backgrounds who've been very carefully vetted would be phenomenal additions to the court.
Now, let's talk a little bit about your book. I couldn't think of a more meek and mild title than Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. Why that title? You mean to tell me you don't have much confidence in the institutional integrity of a couple people in Washington?
Well, let me tell you something. I can give you one name, and I know your head's going to start spinning, and that is James Comey. And let me continue. Andrew McCabe, Peter Strzok, you know, Lisa Page, Rod Rosenstein, who I watched today, who's the deputy attorney general, who was the one who said that the president should fire Comey, but is now in charge of the overseeing the investigation.
Right.
He should have fired Comey. This is the kind of thing that they do in comic books. And at the end of the day, what we've got is my book, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, A Case Against the Anti-Trump Conspiracy. And these are people who wanted to drag a hag, with all due respect, across a presidential finish line, who was a criminal, and to frame Donald Trump, who was a friend of mine for many years, in the event he became president. This is what happens in third world countries. They surveil the campaign. They have tried to destroy our president, who has done nothing but take care of the economy, defeat ISIS, and create an economy where there are more jobs than there are people to fill it. And now what they want to do is they want to resist, obstruct, and impeach the man. No, I have to tell you, I've been a prosecutor, a judge, and a DA for 30 years. I've run for office 5 times. I know of what I speak. This is the kind of scenario where these liars, leakers, and liberals need to be prosecuted. There needs to be an indictment against Hillary Clinton for the violation of all the national security regulations and laws as it relates to her email server, an indictment for the Clinton Foundation, which is nothing more than an organized criminal enterprise parading as a 501c3 charity, and the people in the FBI who abused our government and the power we gave them and took money as a salary so that they could take care of the swamp, those people have to go. And it's time for America to be true to itself, to our founding fathers and the flag. And that's why I wrote the book. I'm tired of these corrupt establishment people who think that they know better than the American people who should be sitting in the Oval Office.
And I think one of the casualties in this scenario happens to be the justice system in total. Because if we have a phenomenon where the American people have become very distrusting of elected officials, right? But to have now the folding in of the Department of Justice and the FBI, that it is now provoking distrust of the American people in these entities, how can we go forward if the American people no longer have any confidence in those who are given the responsibility and the privilege to navigate our justice system?
Well, and that's another great question. And the answer to it is a rather simple one. You've tried cases. You've been a prosecutor. Sometimes the most difficult scenarios are resolved with the simplest of answers. Mm-hmm. You get rid of those who were the poison at the top of the FBI. Mm-hmm. You know, the FBI, unfortunately, is going to have to work very hard at regaining the confidence of the people, of the American people. But you know as well as I do that the American people are God-fearing people who believe in justice. They believe, as you and I do, in law and order and truth and justice. I have committed my life to that, and I truly believe that the American people will give the Department of Justice and the FBI a chance, but we've got to get rid of the bad players and the bad actors in there. And just so you know, when I was the elected DA, I knew James Comey. His office, when he was the United States Attorney, was right next to mine when I was the sitting district attorney. And, you know, this is a guy who would have the ability to convince people that he was, you know, holier than thou, that he was, you know, he was sanctimonious and he was friendly and he was, you know, clear-headed and all-American. He was everything but that. He was a guy who shut down a Clinton Foundation investigation when he was United States Attorney. He's friends with Mueller, who is doing the investigation of Trump. These are bad actors, and they've got to go. And if you want to know the truth, Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, I lay it out very clearly, is a book that you cannot avoid if you want to understand what is going on in the system. I know the system. I gave 30 years of my life to it. Mm-hmm. These guys have played the system, but no more. they've got to go.
I agree. And your book is available in July. Do you have the exact date for its release?
Yeah, it's July 17th. You can pre-order it on Amazon or Barnes & Nobles or wherever you can pre-order. It's available. But it's Liars, Leakers, and Liberals. And I have to tell you, we are so lucky that we have Donald Trump as president. And I talk about what a force of nature that man is, the man that I've known for 30 years. He is a blessing on this country.
Great point. Now, you referred to earlier, you alluded to Rod Rosenstein's testimony on Capitol Hill. I want to play a 30-second clip and get your reaction. If you would, Jason, please play clip number one.
We've seen the bias. We need to see the evidence. If you have evidence of wrongdoing by any member of the Trump campaign, present it to the grand jury. If you have evidence that this president acted inappropriately, present it to the American people. There's an old saying that justice delayed is justice denied. I think right now all of us are being denied. Whatever you got, finish it up, because this country is being torn apart.
What do you think about that from Trey Gowdy today, Judge Jeanine?
I have to tell you, I know Trey Gowdy, and I've hit him a few times on my show when I thought he should be hit.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he said, American people should be grateful the FBI had a spy in the Trump campaign. I disagreed with him.
Yes.
But by and large, what he says as a former prosecutor himself is absolutely the truth. This country is being torn apart by those who keep looking for collusion between Donald Trump and the Russians. There is none. And with the lawyers and the money and the time and the effort and the 24/7 effort on the part of the leftist liberals and the leakers to try to convince the American people that something is awry, it is time for them to put up or shut up. And I'm saying it a little more directly than Trey Gowdy. this country needs to heal. We are a great people. We are a nation that is God-fearing, that believes in God and truth and justice. And when I sat on the bench, In God We Trust was over my bench, I swore people on the Bible that they were going to tell the truth in my courtroom. What has happened in the last 8 years, what has happened at the upper echelon of the FBI, not in the FBI, in the field offices with the men and women who are good men and women that I've worked with, but what has happened by those in the swamp and the establishment, that's got to end. And it's got to come to a conclusion so we can start to rebuild in America. And Trey Gowdy's bottom line is right.
I agree with you. Judge Jeanine, thank you so much for joining me today. Liars, Leakers, and Liberals, the case against the anti-Trump conspiracy. It'll be available on July 17th, but you can go and pre-order it right now. Amazon, wherever books are sold, you want to get this book. Thank you so much for joining me on the program today.
Thank your listeners, too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. She's right, and Trey Gowdy is right, addressing the divide in our country. I made this point yesterday. When you consider the recent rulings from the Supreme Court, the ruling on public sector unions extracting dues from non-union members, when you think about the ruling in the NIFLA versus Becerra, pro-life pregnancy centers being compelled to provide information about where women can go to kill their babies. When you think about all of these cases, and many of them there were 5-4 decisions, and you contrast that what's happening in New York with Alexandria Cortez winning as a Democratic socialist. When you see what's happening in California, the absolute purging that has taken place of anybody who would even have the temerity to utter moderation on a Democrat position. Folks, our nation is polarized. The divide is broader than the Grand Canyon. And I will take this opportunity to assert what I began asserting in the very beginning of the program, that what we are witnessing should compel every believer not to merely discuss things from the political standpoint, but to do so with our spiritual eyes open. That when we're having people that would on one hand argue for the right to kill children in utero, and let's just address this elephant, so to speak. Most often when it's presented, they use extreme scenarios that are very, very, very rare. When women are raped and so on, to justify killing over 99% of the babies who are killed. It's an established fact that that is not the reason why most people get abortions. They do so for convenience. That is not to minimize the difficulties that they face, but we are at a place where we need to seek the one who can remove the blinders.
Hi, I'm David Barton, founder of Wall Builders.
And I'm Tim Barton, the president of Wall Builders. And we want to let you know about an opportunity this summer for 18 to 25-year-olds to come be a part of what we're calling the Leadership Training Program. Actually, the website is wallbuilders.com/leadership training if you want to see more information. But really what we're doing is trying to help young people combat a lot of the nonsense they're learning in academia, things that are anti-American or anti the Bible. And so we actually dig into the Bible, we dig into American history and the Constitution and education, and try to give a really good inoculation against some of the things that they're hearing in academics.
Yeah, Tim, you're exactly right. This is such an excellent opportunity to have the apologetics of the things that they'll face in academia and the culture. So if you're from 18 to 25 years old and you want training in this, and by the way, you get to actually hold the handwritten documents of George Washington and John Adams and other aspects of American history, this is a great opportunity this summer. 2 weeks, go to wallbuilders.com/leadership training. Hope to see you this summer.
Are you meaningfully worldly? This is David Wheaton, host of The Christian Worldview. Authentic Christianity assumes a meaningful worldliness, said Pastor Art Azurdia in a recent sermon. What he means is that Christians should avoid the extremes of assimilation and isolation from the world, but rather engage enough to be used by God in his work of redemption. This is what Jesus prayed for his disciples in John 17. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. The pastor closed by saying, "Church is the huddle, but the game is played out there." So let's engage with non-believers to tell them the way of salvation. Hear more about meaningful worldliness at thechristianworldview.org. And then tune in this weekend for another topic that will sharpen your worldview.
Listen to The Christian Worldview with David Wheaton, Saturday mornings at 8 Central on American Family Radio.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Pro-life pregnancy care centers were required under California law to notify patients that the state offered subsidized abortions. It was a clear violation of the First Amendment, and the Supreme Court agreed, ruling 5-4 in a major victory that blocked the state from enforcing the law. It also affirmed Americans are legally protected from compelled speech by their government. Tony Perkins is the president of the Family Research Council. He said all Americans should be breathing a sigh of relief. He said California lawmakers wanted to punish faith-based organizations that did not capitulate to the government's value system. Imagine having to promote a message that runs counter to your mission. A vegan grocer forced to post ads for the local meat market. Clearly unfair. And it's equally unfair to force organizations dedicated to protecting the unborn to promote programs that are designed to kill the unborn. I'm Todd Starnes.
The Hamilton Corner podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net and UrbanFamilyTalk.com. Back to the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio
and Urban Family Talk.
Welcome back to the Hamilton Corner here at American Family Radio and Urban Family Talk. That was Judge Jeanine Pirro. She has agreed to come back on our program in July, and we'll chop it up a little bit more. Well, we will open the phone lines this segment. So if you would like to weigh in on what we've discussed, you are welcome to call 888-589-8840. The number again to call is 888-589-8840. And as the callers are lining up to get on the program, I just wanted to take a few moments. I won't be as extensive as I plan to be on this, but just to talk about the makeup of the Senate that would be tasked with the obligation to fulfill their constitutional duty of providing advice and consent. And to that point, I want to first say, when you have the apoplectic reactions from the regressives saying that the Republicans stole a Supreme Court seat from the Democrats, I just want to provide you some constitutional sobriety. The Constitution tasks the Senate with the obligation to provide their advice. And upon offering that advice, should the president make a nomination, they then have the obligation to provide or withhold their consent to that nomination. So when President Obama, in the last year of his presidency as a lame duck president offered Merrick Garland for consideration to the Supreme Court, President, then President Barack Obama was advised by a majority of senators who happen to be Republicans that you will probably should not offer Merrick Garland. They were advised that Merrick Garland would not receive their consent. So for somebody to say that a seat was stolen, that's just factually inaccurate. What happened is that the separation of powers that have been provided to us by our Constitution, they worked. And as that same former president, Barack Obama, said, elections, plural, meaning not just his presidential election, but also the elections of the United States senators, they have consequences. That's just the facts. So for somebody to say that the Supreme Court seat that is now filled by Justice Gorsuch was stolen, that's just factually inaccurate. That's a bunch of people having sour grapes that they didn't get their justice on the bench. Because you don't hear any of these people saying that a Supreme Court seat was stolen when Judge Bork didn't end up on the bench in the 80s. No. So I just wanted to share that. Now, having said that, the makeup in the Senate right now, when President Trump initially took office, there were 52 people who aligned or affiliated themselves with the Republican Party, and there were only 47 Democrats and the one independent, Bernie Sanders. Well, now there are 51 Republicans and 49 people that align with the Democrats. There were 48 Democrats and one Bernie Sanders, with Doug Jones now filling Jeff Sessions' seat. So the reality is that if the Republicans all stay together, there is nothing the Democrats can do to prevent President Trump from filling Anthony Kennedy's seat, which I advise and I expect wholeheartedly to happen, that he should do quickly, even before the midterm elections. Having said that, we all know that there are two people who profess to be Republicans, but let's just call it what it is. They are pro-baby murder. That would be Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski. So that would then appear on its surface to offer the possibility that they may flip to align themselves with the Democrats. And that would change it to 50 to 49 on the Democrat side. I forgot to mention John McCain, who is out of commission for the moment, and many expect him to expire soon. So that would reduce the number on the Republican side. But what a lot of people forget is that even if those two defect to the Democrat Party, there are a host of Democrat senators who are running for re-election in the midterms right now in 2018, who are running in states that President Trump won overwhelmingly. So these senators will be under great pressure by their constituents to comply with President Trump's nominee. And I'll just start with one that comes to mind immediately, Joe Donnelly in Indiana, who was in a tough, had a tough primary election. He was a Democrat in a state won by Republicans. Remember, Vice President Mike Pence was the former governor of Indiana. Indiana is a state, by and large, that tends to go red. Joe Donnelly is under a lot of pressure. Will he, as a Democrat, vote along with the Republicans? You very well may see it. You also have Claire McCaskill, who's a Democrat running for re-election in Missouri. And Missouri is a state that President Trump carried in 2016 by 19 points. Is Claire McCaskill going to risk upsetting her constituents by stonewalling President Trump's Supreme Court nominee? Good question. I think a lot of people also forget John Tester in Montana. President Trump won Montana by 21 points. Yet that seat is currently held by a Democrat. Then from there, it gets even more interesting. Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota. President Trump was just in North Dakota last night doing a rally there. Will Heidi Heitkamp risk frustrating her constituents when President Trump won North Dakota by 36 points in 2016? And then you have, last but certainly not least, Joe Manchin of West Virginia, who's running. So that's four or five Democrats who we very well could see cross the aisle to vote for President Trump's nominee in the Senate. And I'll just remind you that you had people like, for example, Amy Coney Barrett, who was confirmed to the Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals just a few months ago, that she got 55 votes in a bipartisan effort that several of the Democrats I just named crossed the aisle to confirm her. So will President Trump nominate somebody who has just gone through the confirmation process, who has even attracted a few Democrat votes in the Senate? These are things that could very well play out. So I just wanted to share that with you to give you an idea of the landscape that we were facing with the prospect of having President Trump nominate a replacement for Anthony Kennedy. Now, having said that, we'll go to the phone lines. We'll start in Alabama with Joe. I don't believe Joe's comments are necessarily on the topic we discussed today, but I'll give you a little bit of time, Joe, to make your point. Welcome to the Hamilton Corner, and thank you for your call.
You may remember me. You're my intellectual brother.
I remember you, Joe.
You're my brother that I call. Listen, I want to talk about Maxine Wallace. She reminds me so much of her fellow Democrat, our former governor, one of the most reprobate governors we've ever had, and we've had a few of those, George Wallace.
Yeah.
So he didn't want those people going to the University of Alabama.
Yeah.
He didn't want those people in his restaurants either, you know. Very similar to Maxine. I call her Maxine Wallace because they remind me of each other so much.
Mm. That's a good point, Joe. It's a good point. They do, based on the rhetoric that they've offered. But back to the phone lines, we go next to Arkansas, where Richard is on the line. Richard, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Welcome. It's a pleasure to visit with you. I would like to say that I truly appreciate the energy that you bring to the radio.
Well, thank you very much, Richard. It's my pleasure. That's just my personality. I can't help it.
Yeah, I told the lady who answered the phone that she needs to relay to you if you're putting a sleep out here. You need to get something to be energetic about. Now, I am one of the people that's pleasantly surprised with what has happened with our president.
Mm-hmm.
And for the first time in 8 years, I have no problem referring to the individual in the office as president.
Mm-hmm.
And here in Arkansas, fortunately, we're well set with representatives.
Mm-hmm.
But I just like to encourage people to reach out to our representatives and just send them a kudos. Say, hey, we appreciate what you're doing, like what's going on. Thank you for being there. Because even, you know, the negative statements say a lot, but the positive ones say a lot, too, for our representatives.
They do. When they do good, thank you for your call, Richard. I think it's important. When our elected officials do something good, it's good to let them know that. It lets them know, first of all, that you're watching. But second of all, it lets them know that you don't only want to contact them when things are going wrong. And you'll be amazed at having, and I didn't know this what it was, but having been involved in grassroots lobbying for a pretty long time back in my home state of Louisiana, you'll be amazed what constituent contact with elected officials, what it accomplishes. And so when they hear from you, when you do something, when they do something that you like, and they hear that from you, that gives them an idea of what they should continue doing in office. So that you bring up a good point, Richard, a good point. Thank you for your call and your comments. We'll go back to the phone lines now to Georgia, where Sandy is on the line. Sandy, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
You talk about Sadie?
Sadie, yes. Sadie, thank you for calling.
My name is Sadie.
Yes, ma'am. Sorry about that.
You are a blessing on this radio. I look forward to hearing you every day, and if I miss you, I get so upset with myself. We're not, but you are a blessing to me, and I thank you so much for your energy and where you are standing with President Trump. I just thank you so much. But what I wanted to call about, the main thing was what I told your operator that answered, Shapiro, just was on a while ago.
Yes,
the judge,
ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Judge Shapiro.
Yes,
she
ma'am.
She is a blessing. I listen to her. She is the only person that I like on the weekend. Hannity is a favorite, you know, during the week, but she's my favorite on the weekend. She just comes on the weekend. So she is a blessing, and I just was so glad for you to have her on your program a while ago. And I just love President Trump. And I pray for him most every day. I try to pray for him every day. But he is a blessing. I thank you so much for what you're doing and standing up for life, for these babies that's being killed in the wound. It's just a shame what's going on. But I appreciate you so much. You're a blessing.
Thank you, Sadie. Thank you very much for your call and your comments. And, you know, what you're doing and praying for the president, it is biblical. The Bible encourages us, not encourages, commands us to pray for our leaders. And I'll tell you guys, I did not support President Barack Obama at all. His policies, I think, were destructive to our country. I think a lot of the things we see happening were a direct result of some of the stuff he championed. But I'll tell you this, I prayed for him because as a believer, it's my responsibility to pray for those who are in leadership. And similarly, I pray for President Trump now. And I encourage you all to do so, especially when you see these things are happening. How many of us expected Anthony Kennedy to retire so quickly? I know I talked about it on the program, but for it to actually happen, this is an example as to why we need to be praying continually. President Trump shouldn't take 2 years to name a replacement for Anthony Kennedy. And by those of us who are believers praying for our leaders, that the Lord would give them clarity, the Lord would lead them and guide them. And in the scriptural admonitions to pray for our leaders, the Bible tells us to do so so that we can lead quiet and peaceable lives, that our quality of life is connected to our willingness and our continued praying for our leadership. So I encourage you to do that on a regular basis. Back to the phone lines we go before I start preaching another sermon. To the great state of Texas, where we have David on the line. David, thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Welcome to the program.
Now, thank you. Just you're talking about prayer, and which is why I called. And I know a lot of mature Christians don't need me to tell them this, but our country is facing the greatest spiritual battle since the Civil War now. And everybody needs to be praying. We've already seen what the rhetoric and some of the other behavior of people who are on the liberal side have done, and I can just imagine it getting to a very violent level. So we really need to be in prayer for our leaders, like you're saying, but for our fellow citizens, because there could be the anger. Satan is steering up in people because he sees he's losing ground in our country.
Mm-hmm. David, you're absolutely right. You what you just said reminded me about when Jesus confronted a demon who was tormenting a little boy, and the Bible talked about the demon convulsing the boy before it left him. Convulsing him before it left him. And when you're talking about the violence and things, I said that in discussing Maxine Waters' recent comments, and that are fomenting violence, and you take that in consideration of Steve Scalise being shot for political disagreement. And in 2012, we had Family Research Council's offices being shot up because Floyd Lee Corkins, first person ever prosecuted under federal domestic terrorism statute, used SPLC's hate map to find FRC's offices. This is what we're facing. But back to the phone lines. We'll go to Louisiana to where Todd is there. Todd, I have to give you 20 seconds. Thank you for calling the program. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Yes, Todd. You have 15 seconds now, Todd.
Let me do it, baby. Look, the Democrats don't want us to get conservative judges on the bench because they don't want to see Roe v. Wade turned over or same-sex marriage turned over. And Abe, I'm going to say one thing. That we're in a spiritual battle, and there's no reason why we should have Republicans and Democrats, rich and poor, black and white. We bleed one blood, brother, and we need to start spreading that.
I hear you loud and clear, Toddy Bobby. Thank you for calling the Hamilton Corner. Thank you all for listening to the program. Let's stay on the wall because Christ is King.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.